turn right, according to one study, so these biases aren't consistent, but they do run deep. The lesson here for people is a bit subtle, bordering on the philosophical.
Of course, we all have our biases, and sometimes these are even like hardwired into the way that our brains work. And of course, biases can be useful, can help you to survive.
And that's today's lesson from Temnothorax albopennis, the lowly rock ant. Richard Harris, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Mother used to always say to us, Savannah is a trap. Mother also used to say, beware of other people.
Join us for the Moth Radio Hour, true stories told live from the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org.
Tuesday mornings at 10 and again Saturday afternoons at 1 on AM 580.
Ah, the holidays. A time for peace, a time for love.
Look, first of all, let's address
the lot
of the things
that are in here.
So Sean Hannity, compassionate guy, huh?
It really throws people.
I'm Guy Raz, finding compassion at Fox News and other stories of empathy. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Saturdays at 3 and again Thursday mornings at 10 on AM 580.
Hi, I'm Diane Nolan, host of Mid-American Gardener on WILL-TV. Join me and my panel of experts each week as we discuss lawn and gardening care for the winter season. We also want to hear from you with your gardening questions. So call in during the show or send an email for us to answer on the air. Join me for Mid-American Gardener Thursday nights at 7 on WILL-TV or listen Saturday mornings at 6:30 on AM 580.
Hi, Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA.
I just need to go to meatless. It was the first thing I ate. And I think I ate it for like 5 days straight, to be honest with you.
Coming home to a very special restaurant and learning about other Latino icons that define American culture. That's this week on Latino USA.
Saturday evenings at 8 on
Walmart's Wall Street style move to arbitrage all those gift cards you just unwrapped.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio, coming to you from Washington today. If you received a gift card for the holiday, Walmart wants to make you an offer. Trade it in for a Walmart gift card for less than face value. An estimated $1 billion worth of gift cards may go unused this year, and Walmart hopes to take a chunk of that business and more. Marketplace's Dan Weissman is here. Dan, how does this little financial maneuver work?
Walmart is partnering with an outfit called CardCash.com, which is already in the business of trading in slightly used gift cards. They offer a check or PayPal or an Amazon gift card. And CardCash then turns around and offers the cards for sale through its site at higher prices than it pays. In this partnership, Walmart is offering slightly better terms for its cards. Now, I talked with Sucharita Mulpuru. She's a retail analyst with Forrester Research. And what surprises her is Walmart is partnering with a company that does so much business with its arch rival, Amazon.
If I were in a partnership with any company, I probably would not want them to have significant relations with my biggest competitor.
She says the secondary market in gift cards is so big, it was just a matter of time before Walmart got into it.
And that is Marketplace's Dan Weissman. Now let's do the numbers. In ascending order, the Dow is up 54 points, 0.3%. S&P 500 up 0.4%. The NASDAQ up 0.5%. One of the biggest financial institutions in the world is called Japan Post, owned by the Japanese government. There is news today. The bank will be spun off through an initial public offering of stock. Second half of next year is the time frame. The money raised, the yen equivalent of perhaps $8 billion, will be used to pay for the ongoing reconstruction after the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster 3.5 years ago. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that Coca-Cola has plans to lay off as many as 2,000 employees in the next few weeks. Coke announced in October that it is seeking to cut costs amid falling profits. The soft drink industry has struggled in recent years, as Marketplace's Noel King reports.
Coke is not only axing jobs, it's also slashing budgets, asking executives to take taxis instead of limos, canceling its Christmas party for Wall Street analysts. Jim Hertel of Willard Bishop, a food retail consultancy, says Coke is trying to send a message to all of its employees.
And that message might be, look, we're making changes even to the executive perks, and perhaps when we ask you to tighten your belts as well, you'll know that those belt-tightening moves are affecting everybody up and down.
For the past 15 years, Americans have been drinking less soda. Harry Balzer, vice president of the NPD Group, which tracks how people in the U.S. eat and drink, says tastes have changed.
The country seems to be wanting the things to be natural. People are looking for that. Certainly water fits into that. Can there be something, anything more natural than water?
Coke has a water brand, Dasani, and it recently started selling milk. The question is, can healthier beverages keep Coke afloat? I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Nuance Power PDF, designed for powerful business functionality that's scalable for the entire organization. Nuance.com/PowerPDF. PDF uncompromised. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
From Russia over Christmas, word from a senior official that inflation there could reach 11%. Still, Russia proclaimed yesterday that its ruble crisis is over. That may be optimistic given that its currency is down 1.7% today, under 54 to the dollar. That's about 59% lower than what it was before oil prices began their slide this summer. What's going on in Russia keeps getting compared to the crisis there 16 years ago, but is that fair? In Moscow, Ben Aris is editor-in-chief at Business New Europe magazine, BNE. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Should we be, what do you think, careful about drawing comparisons between Russia now and 1998 with the great ruble financial collapse back then?
Well, on a superficial level, the same thing is going on. This crisis is being driven by the dramatic and sudden fall in the price of oil. That for Russia is a big problem because the Russian budget is heavily dependent on its oil tax revenues. And so if the oil price falls, then the ruble's going to fall along with it.
Now, this state of affairs, Ben, leads reporters like me to write headlines that say it's 1998 all over again, back to the future, Boris Yeltsin's Russia. That is probably overdone.
The first part is the oil. The second part is if you look at the state of the economy now and then, it's like night and day, in so much as in 1998, Russia was still just in the midst of its post-Soviet collapse crisis, that the country had no hard currency reserves to speak of. It wasn't earning any money from anything apart from gas exports. Whereas today, Russia's running a surplus. And on top of that, it has some $420 billion in hard currency reserves. That's enough money to pay for Russia's imports for just under 2 years. And in 1998, they had enough money in their bank to pay for about 6 weeks of imports.
But spare a thought for the Russian consumer in the short term. Imagine if you wanted to buy a car early in the new year. I mean, you're not going to buy a car if interest rates are north of 17%.
This is where the big wallop to the economy is going to come. I mean, this is not, we're not going to go into crisis. We're not going to collapse in Russia. But at the same time, the consumer is going to take it on the chin. And so people have been instigating sort of long tried and tested strategies in order to protect their wealth, having lost their life savings at least twice in the last 20 years, buying apartments, buying cars, buying washing machines, transferring money overseas to places like Cyprus, where you can open an individual bank account, and preparing themselves for the worst. So it's another big difference, I think, in this crisis from the others. And this is my eighth crisis, so this has not been a particularly stable place. There's a sort of mood of glumness, but at the same time, people are not panicking because they've seen it all before and they're kind of prepared for it.
Speaking to us from Moscow, Ben Aris is editor-in-chief of the magazine Business New Europe, BNE. Ben, thank you.
Pleasure.
And something else to keep an eye on this, the day many people try to return instead of exchange gifts. Some online stores only refund to the original payment method, meaning the gift giver gets the money back, not you, the unsatisfied receiver. Consult refund policies online because you could end up with nothing. Plus, the good-hearted giver knows you returned it because it shows up as a credit on their card statement. And why not dig yourself in deeper by lying to the giver that you love what they sent? Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
PRI's The World brings you more than just a day's news.
Yeah, I had an interview once, and the guy said, so what was it like taking the cameras to your village and the elders seeing these cameras for the first time? You know, these soul-capturing contraptions, you know, how did they feel about that? You know, we've had TV there for like 60 years.
I'm Marco Werman. Join us and hear The World.
Weekday afternoons at 3 on AM 580. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.